Okay, so build transfer agreements are also something we've seen a lot in the last few years, also called build-own transfers. And this is where utilities are buying projects directly. So utilities, you know, have historically done a lot of PPAs, but they really like owning projects because they can put them in their rate base. So they like buying those projects. But utilities are not usually wanting to take a whole lot of development risk. And so these build transfer agreements allow them to sign a project up early and allow the developer to know that they have somebody who's going to buy this project at the end of the day so they can take it all the way through. And so they basically are combining a purchase agreement along with an EPC agreement. So a lot of times there's almost kind of two parts to the agreement. What happens till you get to NTP, and then what happens NTP through COD. And so what we're talking about today, when we're talking about purchase and sale agreements, a lot of this also would apply in a build transfer context.
Just riffing on that, so it's like a MIPA that has a full EPC as a condition to a big slug, a big payment at mechanical completion. So if you're the seller, it feels like you're really delaying payment and you're putting a lot of capital out at risk. And so the closing certainty from the seller's perspective is critically important. Keith mentioned this yesterday, and he was talking about how it's sort of the worst of both worlds in that you've got the regulatory out from a PPA along with a big capital outlay. So, you know, a lot of utility PPAs have a regulatory out that says if the PUC comes back and disallows the rate base, that the PPA is no more. One way that you can kind of hardwire around that in a BTA is to have some touch points up front. You're going through the regulatory approval process together with the utility as the seller slash developer.
Yeah, and then I think we've already talked about there's a lot of money out there. One thing we're starting to see is a lot of Asian companies trying to get more and more into the market, which is maybe not totally new, but we're just seeing even more of it lately. You know, there are a lot of projects out there, and yet we constantly have clients coming to us looking for more projects. And yet we say, well, look, this portfolio is for sale and those projects are for sale. There's lots of stuff out there for sale. The problem is they don't just want projects. They want good projects. And particularly if we're talking about something like solar in Texas, the returns have gotten really tight. So they might say, well, yeah, there's all those projects out there, but their PPA prices are too low or they just don't even have offtake. So we don't want those projects. So whether or not there's enough projects out there is always something that's a little bit of a debate. And the other thing just to mention it's been even more of an issue lately, especially as we have a lot of these foreign buyers coming in, is CFIUS. And so that is if you have foreign buyers coming in, whether or not they have to file with the federal government and whether or not they need approval to buy these projects. And so there's some new CFIUS guidance that's just come out, and so you have to really analyze it. There's certain countries that are safe, and so you don't have to do it. There's a lot of clients that are questionable. You know, they may not have to file, but do they want to file? Just to make sure there's no risk on the project, on the deal ultimately getting unwound. And so those kind of things are something we have to spend a lot of time thinking about as we're working on deal structures, because if we're going to need to wait 90 days for a CFIUS filing, that's really going to slow the deal down. And then,
do we have a sense? Is it like 120? Is it 90?
It depends on if it's an easy filing and you're just kind of getting a quick sign-off versus if it's, you know, if you're coming from a country that might be much more problematic. And if you're a Chinese buyer, it's going to be really hard. So really just depends on what country you're coming from.
Right.
Yeah. I want to get into the substance, but really quick, just to set the stage for those of you who maybe don't do quite as much in the M&A space, this just shows a couple different places that we see M&A deals happening. And so sometimes we have these earlier stage deals where a developer is selling something, it's just a few assets. A lot of times it's leases, maybe a queue position, kind of developer to developer sale. We do a lot of these development transfers, also referred to as development completion deals. And that is when, like Sam said, a lot of times the big sponsors want to do their own EPC, they want to do their own financing, but they really want the original developer to have done everything else. And so we'll talk about what kind of CPs go into those deals. But we see a lot of those kind of developer to large developer or sponsor type sale. Bill transfers, we've already talked about. And then we're not really going to talk about buying and selling operating projects today. Some of what we're talking about will apply, but we're really kind of focused on the development stage projects. There's a lot of interesting things that goes into those negotiations, so we're going to focus on that today. But the other thing that's important about this is to understand some of these deals are going to be simultaneous sign and closes, and we'll talk about when that happens, versus many more deals you will sign, and then there's a number of CPs before you close. And so that's something that a lot of thought has to go into that's really unique to doing M&A in this industry. If you just have a regular M&A lawyer that doesn't understand renewables, they're not going to understand the nuances of what those CPs and milestones are. And that's really oftentimes the most critical part of doing these deals, as we're about to talk about.
One other thing I'd really focus on this slide is that men also like to shop, and women can also build things. So just throwing that out there. The boxes in the middle, I mean, when you think about a seller, we'll get there in terms of the milestone payments, but they're selling a bundle of rights, a bundle of assets, so there's an actual purchase and sale, but then they're also potentially doing a lot of development services over some period of time, which is kind of what these boxes allude to. And I think as a seller, you really, ideally as a seller of anything, you just want a clean walk-off. You want to sell as is, where is, no indemnities, get my cash, done. But that's not necessarily the nature of these deals. Typically, the buyer is really relying on the seller to do some core development work after the sale occurs. So that's what those boxes indicate.